Okay, welcome back. We are going to talk about coaching week two. Now, the first thing that you're going to do in week two is you're going to review the list, as we had already discussed, and you're going to discuss and clarify each item. And here are some tools for when you're discussing the list. So in addition to discussing and clarifying each item, you're going to ask the client to explain what it is that they mean. We already talked about also them explaining how it is that that quality makes them feel. You're going to ask questions, and then you're also going to offer synonyms. And this is a really fun part of the process, because somebody might have something that they're looking for that they tell you about it, and you just think, well, like, I don't get it. Do you mean this? Do you mean that? So you start throwing out the synonyms, and you realize that they're communicating something that is not exactly accurate about what it is that they're looking for. So this is a huge moment here, because the thing is that they're going out there in their profile, talking to their friends, talking to their dates, communicating what it is that they're looking for. I'll say miscommunicating what it is that they're really looking for and what it is that they're putting out there, right? So this clarification process is actually really, really important. For example, I want to meet somebody who's smart. What does that mean? Right? What does that mean to you? There are a lot of things also that you're going to find are relative questions, right? So that's great. You want to meet somebody smart. Does that mean somebody who's street smart, who has common sense, who's got a PhD? What does that mean to you? I did a lot of work in Silicon Valley, you know, right down the road from Stanford, right? Their view of smart is totally different than my hometown where I grew up in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Right? So you want to really dig into these questions. Then use a sentence of what they're saying and give them an example. And sometimes when you hear something back that's been in your head and you have somebody repeat it back to you, you go like, huh, that's not what I mean. Or maybe I really need to think about that. So this clarification process is really important. And remember, most people have never done this. And they've never had anybody help them do it either, right? So making the list. Now, homework number two you're going to then assign, which is their dream relationship. And here it is. Please describe your dream relationship. Don't hold anything back again, even if you think that it's impossible. Because, again, these subconscious things, even if they think they're impossible, they're still going to reject people because maybe if I just hold out another week or month or year, I'm going to find that one thing, right? So you want them to include an uncensored version. Now, again, two bullet points or two pages, and here's what it includes. The relationship status. Do you want to be married, living together, living separately? What are your future goals as a couple? Do you want to have children? Are you going to have a blended family because you both already have children? Do you want to travel? What does that look like? How much time are you going to spend together? Are you somebody who's really, you know, I talked to somebody the other night who he had to travel to North Dakota 3 weeks a month and was only home for 1 week a month. To be able to be with his family. So what kind of time are you going to spend together? What are you going to do together when you do spend time together, right? If he loves bungee jumping and you really love going to the library, are you guys both going to be willing to do those things together, right? What kind of things are you going to do together? What does your home feel like? If you are living together, what does it feel like to be in your home? What does it look like? What's your financial arrangement? Describe a typical weekday or weekend. What's fascinating is once you get this and they really see what it is that they have in their mind, right? And you can go through the things that are realistic. Maybe they're saying, well, I want to travel. And, you know, I want somebody who's spontaneous and likes to travel. Right? And you're like, you have four kids and two of them are gone, but, you know, your youngest is 10. Am I really looking for a partner for you right now who has a priority of traveling? Because you're going to get furious when you meet Mr. Jet-setting, international, who's ready to spontaneously go on trips, and you don't have arrangements put together for your kids. That's not going to work, right? So, some real interesting information comes out with this. Another interesting thing that you're going to do is you're going to take this and you're going to compare it to your list, right? Well, it says here that you want somebody on your list who is this kind of person, but that just doesn't match up with this kind of lifestyle that you want to have, right? So when you can point out the way some of these things don't line up, it really helps with them rejecting people that they shouldn't be rejecting, and that sort of thing. So coaching week 3, love science, attraction chemistry. So we talked before about attraction and chemistry being based on chemicals, right? And so many of you know that love is an action, love is not a feeling, right? And chemicals in our body last for about 5 seconds. So if our feelings are run by chemicals and change every 5 seconds, we're in big trouble if this is what we're going to base the relationship on. Maybe we visually see someone and what we visually see is very attractive to us. It causes a chemical reaction in our body. Maybe it causes a rush of adrenaline. Are you in love? Are you on adrenaline? Many people confuse those two feelings. In fact, I don't even watch The Bachelor or any of those shows. I don't even have to because I can already tell you what's going to happen. Whoever goes bungee jumping together is going to wind up together. Right? The adrenaline that happens actually mimics the feeling that people have when they're falling in love. So you have a lot of people who mistake adrenaline for love. And love is actually an act of will. It's a choice. It's completely different than attraction and chemistry. Now, one of the hormones that I really like to talk about is oxytocin. And oxytocin is known as the bonding hormone. How many people have heard of oxytocin? Oh, good. A lot of people. Okay. So sometimes I talk to women who are going through a breakup. You've all met the person who's in a relationship that all their friends and family knows that this person is awful and is not for them, and they can't see it and they can't get out of it. That's what I call the oxytocin psychosis. There is no negotiating with this person. There is no giving them facts, logic, nothing. They are on a drug. It is a literal drug. It is called oxytocin. Oxytocin is the bonding hormone. It is produced by mothers when they're nursing. It is produced when you hug somebody for more than 5 seconds. Of course, it's produced when you snuggle. You're spending a lot of time snuggling, you produce oxytocin. Interestingly enough, though, women produce oxytocin completely different than men. Women also produce oxytocin when they have an orgasm. So women have a different process for producing oxytocin than men. I also have identified, and this is not scientific, this is my own research and working with so many different clients. I've also identified a woman who I call the high oxytocin woman. And this is the woman who gets bonded in a relationship really, really quickly. So she's gone out on 2 or 3 dates and all of a sudden she's in love, she's going to marry this guy, he's the one, and she's like really kind of locked in already, and you're just going like, geez, like, didn't you just meet him? Do you even know him? Right? And so that is what I refer to as the high oxytocin woman. Sometimes you can even identify some of this tendency when you're in an initial interview. For example, women who nurse their children for multiple years, generally high oxytocin women, addicted to the oxytocin. I nursed my babies for 3 years. Chances are you're a high oxytocin woman. Okay? So just like one of those little secret tricks of the trade. Another thing that's really interesting is left-handed men. Left-handed men are also oxytocin producers. So here's what is very interesting. I can always identify a left-handed man. After I get to know him, we talk 2-3 times. There's like some kind of combination of facts and intuition that I have where I always know if a man is left-handed. In fact, I had a client who was 76 years old, and we had talked about 3 times, and I caught him on the phone. I said, "You're left-handed. I know it." And he said, "No, I'm not." And I said, "I've never been wrong about this. You are left-handed." I argued with him. He's telling me I'm not left-handed. I'm like, okay, I've never been wrong. This is really weird. We get off the phone. He calls me back 10 minutes later. He said, "I was left-handed when I was in school. I went to Catholic school. And if you were left-handed, if you were a boy and you were left-handed in Catholic school, the nuns would tie your arm behind your back and make you write with your right hand." Oh, that's interesting. The reason why was because the nuns were afraid that if you were left-handed, that you would turn out gay. Now, what's very interesting is that left-handedness is actually very high among gay men. However, it doesn't mean that a straight man is gay if he is left-handed. What it does mean, though, is that he has a thicker corpus callosum. The corpus callosum is the highway in between the left and the right hemispheres of the brain. Okay? So, the average right-handed male has a small corpus callosum, right? It is a one-lane highway that's going back and forth. And that's why he focuses on one thing at a time. Right? He's either in his left brain mode or in his right brain mode. And he has the ability to compartmentalize whatever it is that he's working on, supported by his brain. This is a wonderful, wonderful quality that men have. Women have the equivalent of the 405 in Los Angeles, a super highway with 8 lanes across going from the left to the right side of the brain. Okay, so that is the corpus callosum that women have. This is why they're able to think about multiple things, and all of the emotional things are constantly part of that web of everything that it is that they're thinking about. So my left-handed men have more of this brain. They're also oxytocin producers, which is really interesting. So, and sometimes I also think a little more sensitive, and they have more female friends. So it's very interesting, and it's something that you'll kind of pick up on if you work with a lot of people over a period of time. So oxytocin, the bonding hormone. Now, right-handed men do not produce oxytocin like women. So with them, it is more of a drip procedure. Anybody ever had an IV drip? Right? So it's like an IV drip procedure. And so the male is building up oxytocin over a period of time. For him, it takes about 90 days before he builds up an equivalent amount of oxytocin to feel really bonded to a woman. Okay? So, as a result of that, I want to talk about testosterone. The number one kryptonite killer of oxytocin is testosterone. Testosterone is released by a man after an orgasm. So when we're talking about things like the 3-date rule that we referred to earlier, right, where he has not had the opportunity to have that drip of oxytocin to really properly bond to a woman, he's got a flood of testosterone that comes through. It knocks it out. He thought he really liked her, but then they slept together and he was like, "I don't know. I'm not sure." She thought they really had a connection. They really liked each other. They were really kind of going somewhere, and then he never called her again. This is a biochemical process that can happen. And so what I love so much about science is that so many things that are in the Bible, like waiting, right? Until there's a commitment, until there is a covenant commitment that's in place. And that's not going to happen in 3 or 5 days, right? You think that that's going to take 90 days at least to put something like that together? I love how so many things in the Bible are supported by science. So what the Bible has known for thousands of years, science is just now catching up with. And I love to share these facts with people. So neurochemical bonds can be created, and all of a sudden you are hijacked by your body, you're hijacked by your body chemistry. Everybody knows your boyfriend's a jerk, but you can't figure out how to get out of the relationship, right? And so women are calling me at work. I slept with this guy, I thought he really liked me, I haven't heard from him, what do I do? So then we have some repair work to do. Okay, now another thing that I find very interesting is family history and love maps. There is a fascinating field of science called epigenetics. Epigenetics is so cool, because we all know about things like, for example, generational curses, right? We all know about how patterns can run in families. And we think that a lot of that is based on learned behavior, even subconsciously learned behavior from a young age. But epigenetics actually adds on a whole other layer to that. They did studies with rats where they had rats that were exposed to flower petals. At the same time they were exposed to these flower petals, they shocked the rats. And so it hurt. It was cherry blossoms. Okay? So every time the rat saw a cherry blossom, it got shocked. It hurt. Those rats had babies. And then those rats had babies. 3 generations later, rats who had never been exposed to cherry blossoms were afraid of them. Isn't that fascinating? So we have things that are going on in our family history that are not just in our subconscious, but are literally in our DNA that we have epigenetically inherited that are driving our love lives. So it's very important to be conscious and deliberate and have the knowledge and education that we need to make the right decisions. Because if you're not thinking your thoughts, then who is? Is it great-grandma? Who is afraid of who knows what it was? Is it great-grandpa who is an alcoholic? Is it Aunt Susie who experienced physical and emotional abuse? Who is it that's really influencing our genetics and what's going on in our relationship decisions underneath the surface? So really fascinating, and we have a homework exercise that can help us get to some of it, because even if people did observe some of the behaviors, they don't think that they're in their subconscious, they could have still inherited some of these things. So this is one of my favorite homework assignments, and it's a fill-in-the-blank assignment. So I'm going to ask, for example, for them to fill out for me, men are what? Some people tell you men are jerks. Men are cheaters. Men are liars. Right? Men are great. Men are a gift from God. You're going to get so many different answers to this. They're going to tell you so many different things about a person. So we're going to, men are, women are, dating is, relationships are, marriages, love is, children are, I am, and God is. This is a 2-step homework assignment. Then they're going to do part 2. Answer the questions from part 1 from a different perspective. Your mother, your father, your culture, your grandmother, and your grandfather. So I want them to do this all when they're away from me and bring it back the next week so that we can talk about it. There's another aspect to this assignment that I don't want to give to them, because I don't want to give it to them and have it influence their answers on any of the other homework. And so the next part of that assignment that I don't give to them that we do together after we've reviewed all of that is God's perspective, right? God thinks men are what? God thinks women are what? God thinks dating is what, right? So we really then get down to the perspective that I don't want them to say, oh, you know, it's about God. I've got to fill in the right answers for me. on their original homework, right? But then we get down to this, and I can help them if they don't know the answers, and then we can compare the two. And this is where some real work and healing begins. I had a client who came to me because his relationship was falling apart. And he said, I think I want to do matchmaking, but I'm in this relationship, and I just wanted to learn a little bit more about it. And so I said, well, how long have you been in this relationship for? 4 years. I said, okay. I said, well, listen, I wouldn't do matchmaking with you, but I hate for you to go away and not do coaching with me while you're struggling with this relationship. Why don't you do my 5-week coaching program, and we'll try and figure out by the end of 5 weeks what you could do with this relationship, because maybe we can save it. I love it when I can save people's relationships. I love it. But maybe he needs the right tools also to evaluate if it's not going to be a good fit for him. He did this homework assignment, and because they've been together for 4 years, he was able to do it on his girlfriend and look at her parents and her grandparents and create the whole chart for her. And he had incredible insight into some of the reasons she was acting the way that she was. Right? Some of it had to do with her father's view on children and how she was raised, and her father's views about women and how she was raised. And as he went through it with me, I was able to help and point out to him how some of her behaviors were directly influenced to this. What's great about this is that this doesn't require 5 years of therapy or a year of therapy. This is simply taking things to your conscious mind so that as they come up again, if there's anything on here that you feel like is getting in your way, when that comes up, oh, I'm having that mean thought about men again, that's not going to help me find a relationship, right? You can bring it to a conscious level. So sometimes that's all it requires, is just really bringing some of these things to our consciousness. Okay, why don't we take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk about coaching week 4.